It's Sunday, June the 14th, day 85. Last Tuesday I spent nearly 8 hours on Zoom. In the morning there was the monthly meeting of a steering group, of which I'm a member. In the afternoon I was a speaker at a seminar from 2 to 4. And then at 6 o'clock I was a speaker at another online seminar. And at the end of it I was, frankly, knackered. Now, I guess that if those events had been, as they would have been in the pre-pandemic era, face-to-face, and I'd also been feeling pretty tired by the end of the day, but not as much as I felt on Tuesday. Zoom fatigue has become the syndrome du jour, which is a bit unfair to Zoom because the other online conferencing tools I've had to learn to use, Skype for Business, WebEx, Jitsi, and Microsoft Teams, all give rise to the same kind of tiredness. So it's worth trying to figure out what exactly it is about these kinds of online meetings that makes them so particularly onerous. One part of the problem, I think, is that the tools force you to concentrate on the screen much more than you would focus on speakers at a face-to-face meeting. That's partly because the electronically rendered visual image is such a lower bandwidth channel than the wide bandwidth communications that physical presence allows. In real-life meetings, for example, each person is continually scanning the others, exchanging glances, smiling, frowning, noting body language and other cues, realizing when someone is going to speak or laugh or complain or disagree. But most of those signals are actually blocked or attenuated by the online technology. It's a bit like trying to have a philosophical discussion using only smoke signals. And so our tiredness after a series of such meetings is because we've been having to concentrate so much harder to make the inferences necessary to compensate for what the technology blocks. You see this in all kinds of ways. For example, in real-life meetings, it's generally fairly easy to spot who is about to speak without having an elaborate protocol. But unless a protocol is agreed at the beginning of an online meeting for indicating that one wishes to speak, you find constant bursts of two people starting at once, followed by an elaborate dance of, "No, you go. No, no, after you." And I've lost count of the number of times I've heard someone say plaintively, how do I raise a hand?" There's usually a button for that, of course, which in a way says it all. As Heidegger said, technology is the art of arranging the world so that you don't have to experience it. Some of our problems are, of course, due to the fact that most of us are new to this game. In historical terms, we're back where the telephone was in the early 1930s, when people didn't even know how to start a phone conversation. Was it rude or pushy to start by saying hello? How should one introduce oneself? In Britain, one of the reasons the telephone took so long to take off, compared, say, with the more egalitarian United States, was that men worried that the device would enable their wives to talk to men to whom they hadn't been properly introduced. AT&T made earnest films instructing people on the proper use of the telephone then. We laugh at them now, but actually we're at the same stage with Zoom. And just as the telephone was a pretty primitive device in 1930, so too are Zoom, WebEx, Skype, Teams and co. As an example of bad user interface design, they are quite outstanding. For example, you're expected continually to face the camera, which is bad enough, but in some settings, the same camera switches to show only you when you start to speak. So you spend your time apparently talking to yourself, like a lunatic addressing his image in a shaving mirror. And then there's the so-called gallery view, in which all the participants in the meeting face you in a grid of postage stamp-sized images. The consequence is that when someone is speaking, it's as if they have mounted the stage in an auditorium to speak to the audience of postage stamps. And then the next speaker has exactly the same experience. Like I said, we're back in the 1930s with this technology. It'll get better with time and the current pressure for home working. And we humans will adjust to it as we always do and figure out some kind of etiquette that's widely understood and accepted. But just at the moment I can't help thinking that many of us might secretly be longing for just a hard day at the office. At the actual office, that is.